Okay, and our final presenter today is Michelle Canham Shervak, and I hope I pronounced that right. And she's currently a senior epidemiologist in the injury prevention program at the U.S. Institute of Public Health, and also manages the Army Institute of Public Health activities that contribute to the Army's soldier medical campaign plan, some kind of campaign plan. This is cut off. But anyway, let's welcome Michelle so she'll tell us about some of the trends in non-battle injury rates.
Thanks, Sue. I could have put acronyms in there to trip you up even more, but so I'm presenting today for Dr. Connie Taylor, who's an epidemiologist in our injury prevention program. She unfortunately couldn't be here, but she and Keith Hooray are leading our deployment injury surveillance efforts. And I have to admit I'm going to be relying on notes a little bit more than usual today because this is not my usual area of focus, but I wanted to present this for her. So just a little about our organization. At the Army Public Health Command, we conduct public health services for the Army, so everything from veterinary services to entomology to lab work to health promotion to environmental sampling. And in our epidemiology section, we focus on public health activities, so surveillance, field investigations, and program evaluations. And today I'll be presenting data from our deployment injury surveillance efforts, which have been ongoing since 2004. So injuries are a leading public health problem for the military. Among non-deployed soldiers, there are over 1.3 million medical encounters annually for injuries. Historically, this has not always been the case during deployments that injuries are the most important. Of course, among World War I, II, and the Korean War, the infectious diseases were bigger contributors to non-battle hospitalizations. But since Operation Desert Shield and Storm, non-battle hospitalizations have outnumbered battle hospitalizations. And since Vietnam, injuries have been the leading cause of non-battle injuries. So, of course, preventing non-battle injuries will enhance soldier and unit combat effectiveness and readiness. And as a result, in 2004, the Army Institute of Public Health created a deployment injury surveillance system, which combined several data sources. The Air Force's air evacuation data is combined with Army safety and casualty data to give us a very comprehensive look at an ongoing conflict. That this is something that is the first of its kind. Really, in prior wars, we have only looked after the fact at what the leading causes and issues were. So right now we have approximately 4 full-time staff members that work to review the narratives that are available in this data and cause code the information. So what this data is showing us right now, over the time frame of 2003 to 2012, for both Iraq and Afghanistan, non-battle injuries in the red are the leading reason for air medical evacuations across this time frame, followed by battle injuries, and then other health conditions. And I should say that injuries and diseases are air evacuated out of theater when they require a higher level of medical care, or if they are expected to exceed a certain number of days of recuperation. And that is all determined by policy. So looking at rates, we see that non-battle injury rates in the blue there, and also battle injury rates have been declining over time for Iraq and also for Afghanistan. So the purpose of this analysis was to look at trends of non-battle air evacuation rates by injury type, and then to look at trends by cause and to see if they were associated, these trends were associated. So the data source is, again, the Air Force Transportation Command air evacuation data. The data are on deployed Army soldiers, so they are Guard and Reserve that were activated to deploy or regular Army. The time frame is 2001 to 2012 for Afghanistan and 2003 to 2011 for Iraq. Again, these are non-battle injuries, and we are focused on acute injuries, so those that are coded in the ICD-9 series 800 to 999. And these represent about 50% of our injuries. We also have musculoskeletal conditions that are air evacuated. So these are soldiers that were air evacuated from Operation Iraqi Freedom or Enduring Freedom to higher medical care facilities outside of theater. So I had mentioned that we cause code the narrative data in the patient histories. We obtained troop strength numbers from the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and injury rates were calculated for those years where there were more than 20 air evacuations for that particular type or cause. So the trends were plotted and tested for linear trend. And for both type and cause, the trends were plotted over time. And there was test for correlation between the two type and cause trends. So looking at our results, just to orient you, so we have along the bottom the injury types, and we can see this is Iraq for the time frame 2003 to 2011. Our leading injury types were fractures, dislocations, sprains and strains, and open wounds. The colorings indicate that with those in the red had significant linear trends. So when they were plotted over time, there was a significant linear trend for fractures, dislocations, open wounds, and internal injuries. There were no trends for the sprains and strains, and we had quite a number of injury types that could not be plotted due to limited numbers. So these are the rates over time from 2003 to 2011, again for Iraq, and you can see that for dislocations, fractures, and open wounds were declining over time. Internal injuries increased, and sprains and strains did not increase or decrease significantly over this time period. So now looking at causes for Iraq from 2003 to 2011. Again, along the bottom, the causes are listed. So leading causes of non-battle injuries in Iraq were sports and physical training, followed by falls, motor vehicle accidents, crushing and blunt trauma, and twisting, turning, and slipping. The bars in the red indicate that there was a significant linear trend for sports and physical training, falls and jumps, motor vehicles, accidents, and twisting, turning, slipping. We had no linear trend for the crushing and blunt trauma, and then low numbers over time for the other causes that were looked at. So these are the rates that plotted over time for those that had enough numbers to plot. Looking at rates for motor vehicle accidents, falls and jumps, twists and slips decreased from 2003 to 2011, and sports and physical training increased. Crushing and blunt trauma rates did not increase or decrease significantly over time. So then tests for correlation between these trends were done. We see here the two leading causes in Iraq were fractures and dislocations. And there was a correlation between trends for fractures for both motor vehicle accidents and falls and jumps. There was also a correlation in the changes in rates for dislocations and falls and jumps. So this appears to suggest that the decrease in trends that were seen were due to decreases in numbers of motor vehicle accidents and falls and jumps. So now we'll switch gears to Afghanistan. This is the distribution of non-battle injury types from 2001 to 2012. Along the bottom, you'll see the leading injury types were fractures and dislocations, sprains and strains, similar to what was seen in Iraq. Looking at the rates over time, the non-battle injury error evacuation rates for fractures and dislocations decreased from 2001 to 2012. Sprains, strains, and ruptures were not found to increase or decrease over this time frame. So looking at causes, we say along the bottom again that the leading causes in Afghanistan were falls and jumps in sports and physical training. And we'll see the rates on the next slide. Rates for sports and physical training, falls and jumps decreased over this time period. And there were no correlations in the decrease in specific injury types and causes. So in summary, we saw decreases in fracture and dislocation rates over the time period that was examined. In Afghanistan, in Iraq, we saw decreases in dislocations, fractures, and open wounds, but an increase in internal injuries. Looking at cause of injury, we saw decreases for sports and falls and jumps over time in Afghanistan. And in Iraq, we saw decreases in motor vehicle accidents, falls and jumps, and twisting, turning, slipping injuries, but an increase in sports and physical training over time. So it is encouraging that the rates decreased over time or remain the same for most injury types and causes. Some of the possible reasons for changes in the injury rates are gaining experience over time. So as soldiers were deployed for longer, they learned how to deal with their environment and avoid injuries. Also, the intensity of conflict could have been variable over time. There are varying environmental conditions, so as troops were there longer, there was better infrastructure, the roads were better, they learned how to drive on them, and also changes in access to medical care. So again, as we were there longer, they had better access to medical care, and the need for air evacuation wasn't as great. So on an ongoing basis, we provide these reports to DOD and the Army. And the next thing that our staff plans to do is to look at the musculoskeletal injury rates over time, though that is a little more challenging because often there's not a cause associated with them. So that concludes my talk. If there are any questions?